34 and verse number 18. So good again to be here. Welcome to our visitors. Amen. If it's your first time, welcome. If you've been coming and you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, you haven't gotten baptized in Jesus' name, we welcome you again. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. There's an old saying, where I come from, just keep coming to church. Amen. It's also so good to have my wife, Sister Hogan, with me. Amen. God bless you, Sister Hogan, for making the trip today with me. I honor her. Today is her son's 20th birthday. Amen. Matt could not be with us. He was actually going to travel with us and come over. But he's got school tomorrow. He's got college. And so he couldn't come. But I honor my wife for coming with me. And her son's alone by himself. But you know, we'll make it up to him. We'll make it up to Matt when we get home. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 18. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And saveth, I want you to see that, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You can put your Bibles down. Amen. This morning, again, thank you for being here. Let's pray. God, we love you. We honor you, Lord, this morning. We ask you to bless every heart that is here. Touch every mind, God, that is here. We ask you, God, to minister through your word. God, anoint the lips of your messenger today, God. God, anoint the ears of the hearer. God, the hearts of the receivers. God, I'm asking you to touch everybody that is here today in this house. God, bless their lives. Bless their souls. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. So good to be here today. I want to preach a simple thought. I won't be long today, but I want to preach about the beauty of repentance. The beauty of repentance. Brother Hogan, well, we're living for God. We've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we've been living for God for years. We say in our hearts and our minds, when we hear a preacher say, I'm going to preach about repentance. Can I tell you that everybody that's here under the sound of my voice, we have to repent every day. Amen. We have to repent every day. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Repentance is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. We should never, ever, ever, amen, begrudge repentance. Amen. A lot of people in life don't like saying that they're sorry.
Right.
Amen. Wars start. Amen. Conflict starts because people cannot humble themselves and say, I'm sorry. Amen. And I grew up around people that it was very difficult for them to say that they were sorry. Amen. How many of you have a hard time, and be honest, how many of you have a hard time saying I'm sorry when you're wrong and you know you're wrong? Hey, I grew up, I was raised by a Vietnam veteran, and I very rarely ever heard my dad say he was sorry, ever. Or much less say he was sorry, or much less confess that he was wrong. You see, we look at repentance as a bad thing. Repentance is not a bad thing.
Right.
Repentance is a beautiful thing.
Right.
Repentance is a good thing.
Yeah.
Repentance brings us closer to God.
Right.
Repentance brings us into the presence of God. Repentance brings us revival.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You show me a church that isn't having revival, and I'll show you a church that does not repent on a daily basis.
Amen.
I'll show you a church where there's a group of people that refuses to say they're sorry, that refuses to admit when they're wrong, refuses to say they're sorry to their wife, and to their children, and to their brothers, and to their sisters. All repentance is a beautiful thing. When there is a lack of repentance, there is a strong spirit and a pride and an arrogance. And the Bible, the word of the Lord teaches us that God resisteth the proud.
Right.
He resisteth the proud.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be full of pride.
Right.
I don't want God to have to, Brother Derek, I don't want God to have to break me every week just to get me to repent.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I want to fall on my face every day. I want to find a place in prayer, whether it be in my work truck, whether it be in the shower, in my living room, in the prayer house. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I want to be able to get on my face and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I remember growing up in school and watching kids fight and watching guys get into it. Amen. All because they couldn't say they were sorry.
Right.
beating each other on the basketball court, on the soccer field. Hey, I'm sorry. Would have fixed a lot of things. Would have kept a lot of people out of a lot of fights.
Yeah, right.
Saying I'm sorry would have kept a lot of people out of prison.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Because they couldn't say I'm sorry.
Amen.
They couldn't break themselves. They couldn't put their stinking pride aside and say, you know what, I was wrong. And you say in your mind, well, Brother Hogan, not everybody can see when they're wrong. You know what? That's true. But when we do see when we're wrong, it's time to repent.
Right.
It's time to get things right with God.
Right.
Repentance! Amen. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
I want to tell you today that saying I'm sorry, amen, husband, wife, builds a strong marriage.
Right.
It builds a strong relationship.
Right.
And a strong marriage. Amen. Builds a strong home.
Right,
right.
You show me a home that's shattered and broken and bruised, I'll show you a home where somebody in that home did not lead, amen, and say, I'm sorry.
Right. Amen.
Forgive me. I didn't mean to say it like that. Hey, I didn't mean to do that. And a lot of times we don't. And that's what repentance is for. That's what an altar is for. Because as long as we're in this flesh, as long as we're living on this terra firma, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to do things wrong and we're going to say things we didn't mean to say. But I'll thank God for repentance. Yes. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for folks that say, you know what? I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank God for a dad that can say, you know what? I was wrong.
Yeah.
Right. I was wrong, son. You know what, daughter? I was wrong. You know what? I was too hard on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you please forgive me?
Right.
That's how strong homes are built. And when you got strong homes, you got strong churches.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I said, when you got strong homes, you got strong churches.
Yeah.
Because it always starts at home.
Right. Right.
I said, it always starts at home.
Right.
Right.
Well, we got into a knockdown dragon on the way to church. Well, you need to get that right in the car before you come into the house of God.
Yeah, right.
Amen. How many of you men have ever got to an argument with your wife on Sunday morning? Praise the Lord. And you didn't get it right before you walked into the church and you regretted that.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're sitting there next to her on the pew and you're wondering, man, are we going to be able to get a hold of God today?
Come on.
Probably not.
Come on.
Because you got to get things like that right before you ever come into the house of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. You ever seen kids like that on the school grounds? Say you're sorry.
No. You say you're sorry.
Kindergartners fighting. First graders fighting. Why? Because they can't say they're sorry.
Right.
They can't admit when they're wrong.
Right.
And we grow up with that dysfunction and that attitude, and we bring them to the house of God.
Amen.
But we need to understand today that repentance, saying I'm sorry, is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Right.
Because when you're living for God or when you're coming to God, repentance brings you into the presence of the living God.
Right.
And there are rewards for saying I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's rewards for saying, hey, I didn't always do things right, but God, if you give me another chance, God, I'll change.
Right.
Because when somebody repents, when I repent, when you repent, when we repent, we're doing an about face.
Right.
We're doing a 180, not a 360. Don't do 360s, whatever you do. Oh, Jesus, help us. I hear people say, well, you know, so-and-so did not proud of them. They did a 360. No, don't do a 360. Because you're just right back where you started.
Right.
We've got to do it a 180.
Right.
We've got to get this thing right. And sometimes, you know what? Just standing there and just turning right around and walking the other way.
Amen.
You know, I told my wife, I said, you know, Sister Hogan, one thing you're going to love about me is I do like to fight. But I like to fight fair.
Right.
I like to fight fair, and I know how to say I'm sorry.
Right.
And I like to fix things.
That's good.
And I like conflict resolution.
Right.
Good.
Amen. Because I don't like conflict. I told my wife, I said, you know what? All the years I went to public school, I got into 2 fights. That didn't mean I didn't almost get into a lot of fights. Because I did. But you know what I learned how to do at a very young age? I learned how to talk my way out of a fight. No. See, you don't want to hit me. Because if you hit me, it's going to be worse for both of us. Now, we got to figure this thing out. We got to work things out. Why are you wanting to hit me for? No, you don't want to do that. Because I got uncles that are 6'9", 6'10". My dad's a crazy man. He's a maniac, so you don't want to hit me. I would tell kids this. I would say, no, you don't want to hit Pepper. Because if you hit me, I'm a crazy person. All I was doing was stalling the eventual beating. I wasn't the toughest kid in the school. Now, if you think you're the toughest kid in the school grounds, well, then you need to repent. Because you're not.
Right.
And if you think you're the toughest man in the world, you're not.
Right.
I learned a long time ago.
Yep.
There's always somebody bigger, badder, and tougher than
right.
you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Hollywood and the world wants to paint a different picture. That we're indestructible, that we're invincible.
Right.
You see what that brings? That brings pride, and it brings arrogance, and it brings a lack of repentance, and the inability to say that I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. You ever heard somebody say that in the old days? My grandpa used to say that. I'm not telling her I'm sorry. She can go to bed mad. No. That's not how we live for God.
Right.
See, the beauty of repentance. Jeremiah 3:22, return ye backsliding children, and I will hear your backslidings, or heal. I will heal your backslidings. Forgive me, I'm trying to use these glasses. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And Joel 2:13, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious. Everybody say gracious.
Gracious.
And merciful. Everybody say merciful.
Merciful.
Slow to anger. He's a God that is slow to anger.
Yeah.
And of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Praise God.
Yes.
Even God repents.
Yes, he does.
Right.
What makes us think we don't have to repent or say we're sorry? I learned many years ago. You want a good home. You want a good marriage. You got to learn how to say I'm sorry.
Amen.
You got to learn how to say I'm wrong. I blew it. I made a mistake. Would you forgive me?
Right.
Now it's up to the other individual to say you're forgiven.
Right.
But when you say I'm sorry, see, the beauty about repentance is when we come before God, He's gracious.
Yes.
Amen.
He's merciful.
Yep.
Yes.
And He's going to forgive us of our sins.
Yeah.
Amen. He's not the great God of heaven, and he's standing over there with some battle axe and some battering ram waiting to beat you, amen, into just a pillar of salt, amen, if you will. But he's ready to give you mercy, and he's ready to give you grace, because he's slow to anger. He's a great God.
Amen.
We need to present the God that we serve to the world as a God who forgives.
Right.
We need to teach people how to repent. The right way.
Yeah.
Now I want to say this. Saying you're sorry doesn't mean nothing if you keep doing what you've been doing.
Right.
It's like these guys that beat their wives. They beat them and beat them and beat them. I'm sorry. And the lady keeps coming back to them because, well, after all, you know, he does say he's sorry. No, see, that's not being sorry.
No.
That's not repentance. Repentance is when you say, I'm sorry, you turn around and you stop doing what you've always been doing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to stop what we've been doing sometimes and tell God that we're sorry. God told me one time, he said, well, I repented years ago of this and that. And in my mind, I thought, wow, but he's still doing it.
Right.
How did he repent of it if he's still doing it?
Right.
See, repentance brings us to a place where we stop doing what we've always done.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
If we're sinning, we stop sinning.
That's amen.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Mm-hmm. Amen. And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not. Listen to the beauty of this. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. I want to come against that spirit that's trying to creep its way into Pentecost years ago that says God can't forgive you when you've been living for Him and you've sinned and you've blown it and you dropped the ball. Let me tell somebody today, I don't care how long you've been living for God, if you make mistakes, if you blow it, God still forgives. God still forgives. His blood is still strong enough to cover your transgressions and your mistakes. That spirit that says God can't forgive one of His children who's made a mistake and they've blown it and they've sinned and they've fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
Repentance is a beautiful thing.
Right.
It's not just for the saint, it's for the sinner, it's for the saint just as well.
Right.
Amen, amen, amen. Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I want to park right there for a minute. You see, I've heard a saying for many, 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 many years. Well, you know, I may be a sinner. At least I'm not a hypocrite. The problem with that saying that's been used over and over and over again, and it's really a popular saying to use for people who backslid, and they're bitter at the church, and they're bitter at the pastor, and they're critical of the people that still go to church, and they're still trying to be saved. The problem with that saying is, well, at least I'm not a hypocrite. You see, the problem with that is the hypocrite and the sinner are going to the same place.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
So what's your point? Well, at least I'm not a hypocrite. No! No, but you're an adulterer. And you're living in sin, and you refuse to repent. But at least I'm not a hypocrite. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't say she did. It's ridiculous. It really is. We've got to teach people the beauty of repentance.
Right.
I said we've got to teach people the beauty of repentance. Don't get falling on your face and living for God. Paul said, I die daily. Why did the Apostle Paul die every day? Why did he die out to his flesh every day? Was it because he was sinning every day? No. But it was likely in his flesh that he could and that he would and that he might.
That's right.
Because as long as we're living in this flesh, we're going to struggle with the things of the flesh.
Right.
That's why we have to walk after the Spirit.
Right.
And not after the flesh. Because we understand that the carnal things of the mind, the carnal things in our heart, they're enmity with God.
Right.
They keep us from being in the presence of God. So we walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit.
Right.
Amen.
We have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Acts, I'm going to go back to that. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be, I want you to see these two words, blotted out.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to take a moment here. That your sins may be blotted out. I'm going to read it again. Acts 3:19. Repent ye, that means me, that means y'all. Can y'all say y'all?
Y'all.
Yeah. No, okay. I know we're not in Oklahoma, but it's all right. Y'all. Right. Or Arkansas, my brother. Y'all just relax. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing, this thing called repentance.
Right.
When we're able to walk into the house of God and we've got the world weighing down on us, and we're a young person, and we've been hanging around sinner kids all week at school because that's where we go to school. And we've been on our phones, and we've been seeing things, and we're just out and about, and all that heaviness of the world weighs on our minds, and it weighs on our spirits. And see, the only people that can't feel what I'm talking about are the self-righteous.
Lord, help us, Jesus.
Well, I'm immune to all that, Brother Hogan. No, you're not. As long as you and I live in the flesh, you will always feel the weight of the world.
Right.
You will always feel the weight of sin.
Yes.
And the best way to get it off you is to repent.
Right.
Not that you've sinned, but God, I don't even like living in this world. You know, growing up, the old timers would always sing songs. Like, this world is not my home.
Right, yes.
I'm just a passing through. My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckoning, they're beckoning me. They're telling me, come home from heaven's open door, because I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The problem with a lot of Pentecostals, apostolics, is they want to feel at home in this world.
Right.
Yeah. It was never the will of God forever, for any of us to feel at home in this world.
Amen.
We shouldn't feel comfortable living in this world. We shouldn't feel comfortable rubbing shoulders, amen, with those that do not serve God, or those that hate God, those that don't want to live for God.
Amen.
We should never feel comfortable being around that element and being around that spirit. Never, never, never. That's why there's something beautiful about repentance.
Amen.
You don't understand, Brother Hoagland. It's Sunday morning. I sinned yesterday. Get it right with God today.
Yes.
There's an altar right here. You can get it right with God today.
Amen.
And you can keep on keeping on.
Yes, sir.
You see, the enemy wants to convince you that God can't forgive you.
Right.
The enemy wants you to believe that your sins and your transgressions are too big. They're too tall. They're humongous. They're enormous. That nobody's ever sinned like you.
Yeah.
Can I tell everybody here today, there's no sin that's uncommon to man, that's uncommon to God.
That's right.
Every sin that's ever been committed or will be committed, God already knows what it is.
Right. Yes.
The enemies know what it is.
Right.
Some of us, it may be new to us, but it's not new to God.
Right.
It's not new to the enemy that's throwing it at us. It's just another one of his tricks. Young people, we got to learn how to live for God through repentance.
Yeah.
We got to learn how to say we're sorry. You know what, Mom, Dad, man, I got a bad attitude. You know, I shouldn't have talked to you like that the other day. I shouldn't have said that to you, Mom. I remember, I'm going to tell a story here real quick. It's kind of embarrassing, but y'all appreciate it. I was 16 years old. It was 32 years ago. Man, that's a long time. Praise the Lord. 32 years ago was a long time. Praise God. I walked in the house. I wasn't living for God. I'm not glorifying sin, so I won't say the things that I did. But I wasn't living for God, and my heart wasn't right, and I wasn't going to church. And I wasn't living a repentant life every day like I should have been. I was 16 years old. My mom was back, so she hadn't been living for God for years. Walked in the house. She said, "Where have you been?" I said, "It's none of your business." Whoa. You mean teenagers talk like that 32 years ago? Man, we sure did. There was ignorance then, and there's still ignorance now.
Yes.
Right.
And teenagers are talking worse to their parents now than they've ever talked to their parents.
Right.
And they're getting away with more now than they've ever got away with before.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean they're right.
Right.
It means they're wrong, and they've got to repent.
Amen.
And in the church of the living God, we must teach our children. We've got to teach our young people how to say, "I'm sorry." My mama looked at me and she said, "What did you just tell me?" I said, "I told you it's none of your business." She goes, "Sit down." My mom was a, God bless my mother, she's in heaven today. She died in 2011 at the age of 62. My mama said, "Sit down." She said, "Who do you think you're talking to?" I just looked at her. She said, "I gave birth to you. Don't you ever talk to me like that again." I thought she was going to slap me. And if she had slapped me, Brother Derek, I'd have just had to take it.
Yeah.
But you know what I did? I stood there and I cried. And I told her what I had been doing. And I told her why I was doing it. And I told her who I did it with. And I said, "You know what, Mom? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I brought shame to you. I'm sorry that I brought shame to your life." Because she had prayed for me all her life until she passed. She dedicated me to God in 1974. She said, "I gave you to God. Why are you living like this? Why are you doing these things?" And she was backslid. She wanted to live for God. I'm like, "What's it to? Why do you care?" She cared because she was a good mom.
Yeah.
She cared because she was a good mom. You know, the beautiful thing about mothers is most mothers, 99.9.9% of them pray for their kids.
Right.
In their own way, they pray for the children. They really do. I believe that in my heart, that most moms pray for their kids. And my mom's prayers were being answered. My mom's prayers were being heard. I'll never forget it. A few months go by, and during those couple of months, Sister Hope and I would feel and hear my mom praying. And I started going back to church, and I repented. I did a 180. I stopped doing the things I was doing when I was 16 years old. I stopped messing around. I stopped doing all the things that were wrong before God, and God forgave me. And God gave me a chance again to live for Him.
Yeah.
You see, that's the beauty of repentance, is that when we repent, amen, that agreement that we have with God that says, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do this. Just forgive me. And He says, okay. And then we mess up, and He says, okay.
That's right.
Just repent. Just ask me to forgive you, and I will.
Right.
Amen.
The beautiful thing about living for God is when He blots out our sins, they are blotted out. And if you're a new convert and you just got baptized or you haven't been baptized yet, the beautiful thing about a watery grave of baptism is when you go down in that water covers every one of your sins and they're taken away forever. 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 And you get a brand new start in life. Every sin that you've ever committed is washed away. But the beauty about repentance is repentance doesn't end at baptism. Repentance continues as we continue to amen to live for God.
Right.
Living for God, repentance is a beautiful thing.
Right.
And if you clap your hands unto the Lord this morning, hallelujah. Repentance brings divine protection into our life. Psalms 12:5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. In Isaiah 25, amen, and 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy, in his distress. When we're living in the world, amen, or even when we're living for God, and we're not on our A game, and we're messing up, and we're blown, I'm telling you, God is nigh to the brokenhearted. The word of God continues to teach us that He resisted, amen, the proud. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The scripture continues on. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. The beauty about repentance is when you're truly asking God to forgive you, He's nigh to you. He's close to you. He's listening to you. He's hearing your prayers. But when we continuously live in sin, we reject the presence of God because of our reluctance to trust Him to forgive us of all of our sins. You say amen.
Amen.
James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him? I love repentance. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for an altar that we can go to and ask God to forgive us.
Amen.
Saint and sinner alike.
Amen.
Repentance is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
Amen.
We find, amen, in the book of Acts, we hear it preached, we hear it quoted. A lot of you can probably quote Acts 2:38, but I want to read Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Can we have some music? Repent. Repent. We should never look at repentance as a drudgery. We should never look at repentance as a hard thing. We say, Brother Hogan, it's this has me bound. And that has me bound. And I'm hooked on this and I'm hooked on that. And Brother Hogan, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I did the other day, and you know what? You're right, I don't. And I don't want to know. In fact, nobody else needs to know. Just God. That's the beauty of repentance. That is the beauty of repentance. Think about it, folks. When we mess up, when we fall, we can go to God and say, God, would you forgive me, Father? Would you help me? Would you forgive me? We can walk away knowing that He has forgiven us. Then Peter said unto them, repent. 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 And for those of you who have not been baptized, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the removal of sins. And ye shall, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to park here in closing. We preach Acts 2:38. We eat Acts 2:38. We breathe Acts 2:38. We live Acts 2:38. It's the cornerstone of salvation. I get it. I know it. I understand it. But when you stop and you read it real slow, then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Well, Brother Hoagland, repentance isn't easy. No, for some it's not. It's very difficult to walk away from a cocaine habit. I understand. Sometimes it's very difficult to walk away from a drug habit. I understand. I've had family that tried repenting. They tried turning away. But that hook had them. The hook of drug addiction, of other addictions in life. They were trying to repent. They were trying to turn. But they were having a very difficult time. And ultimately they didn't repent because they didn't turn away from their sins. Today we have an opportunity, if you haven't yet turned from the life that you've been living, the life that you've always known. And to those of us who've been living for God for many, many years, and we struggle with this or we struggle with that, let's ask ourselves today, have we truly turned away? Have we truly repented of the things that seemingly are not a big deal to us, but they are a big deal to God? Like a proud look? Like a proud look? The Bible says that God hates a proud look. I don't want to be proud. I don't want to be arrogant. God, forgive me if I am. God, I don't want to be. God, I want to be broken. And I want to be contrite before your presence. It's one thing for those who have never lived for God to be proud and to be arrogant. But for those of us who have been living for God for many years, to be proud and to be arrogant. God resists us. When we pray. I've seen many men, different places where I've preached through the years. I've seen God resist them and resist their prayers because they were arrogant and they were proud. And you see the danger about being arrogant and being proud and being filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. It's very dangerous because we end up doing more harm than we do good. We really do. We really do. I've seen it. I've seen men try to help people. They do more damage than they do good. They mean well. They mean well. But because they're so proud and they're so arrogant, they do more damage than they do good. The beautiful thing about repentance, when Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost, he didn't just stop and repent. He continued and said, be baptized in the only saving name. He didn't say that, but it is the only saving name. Right. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the remission, for the removal of sins. And you're right, Elder, shall. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, let's all stand this morning. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The beauty of repentance. Repentance is a beautiful, 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 beautiful thing. If my people, or the Lord, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Sometimes even those of us who've been living for God for a long time, We wonder, well, God, why aren't you blessing me? God, why isn't this working out? God, why isn't that happening? Maybe because we truly haven't repented of some things that are in our hearts. And I want to close. These altars are open. If you have aught in your heart against a brother, a sister, if you're married and you have things in your heart towards your spouse, children, you're living for God, you got things in your heart against your parents, I want to encourage everybody that's here under the sound of my voice, get these things out of your hearts. Get these things out of your lives, because they're hindrances to what God wants to do in your life and what He wants to do in Souls Harbor. I'm telling you, revival is here today. And revival starts with repentance. Revival starts with turning away to those seemingly unknown things that we know that are there. I want to encourage somebody today. Wherever you're at in God, no matter what age you are, I believe God laid this on my heart for me and for everybody that's here. Repentance is a beautiful thing. Let's worship the Lord today. Lord, we love you today. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song right now of invitation. I want to invite you to this altar today to pray, to repent. Brother Hogan, that's embarrassing. No, it's not. Repentance is a beautiful thing. The altars are our best friend. This is where we come and get close to God. Everybody's going to see me walk up there. They're going to think this. They're going to think that. Oh, we can't care what people think. It may be a bad attitude that you have for a while. It may be a chip on your shoulder that you have. But if it's hindering your prayers, if it's hindering revival in your life, get it right with God today. So God can pour out His blessings upon you and use you in a mighty way of His kingdom. I invite our visitors to come and pray with us today. These altars are open to all of our visitors. If you want to repent, if you want to seek God and pray, you're welcome to come today. Amen. Let's sing the song.